Well, good evening, everyone. My name's Nick. I'm the Associate Vicar here at All Saints. Lovely to be with you this evening. If you'd like to follow on the passage, I know it's a bit dark at the back, we'll be on page 999 if you'd like to have the passage open in front of you, Matthew chapter 27. Let me pray as we come to God's word. Our great God and Father, we thank you and praise you that you demonstrate your love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Father, that is a truth that we will spend all eternity wondering at and never reaching the bottom of the beauty and glory of it. Tonight, Father, as we gaze again at this, please give us a glimpse of that glory. Please help us to see that what happened there happened for us. Whether that's for the first time or for the thousandth time, Father. Shine your light now, we pray. Amen. Amen. Love to start with a question. I wonder what in your life has made you feel most loved? What moment or words from your life have made you feel most loved? I once spent a week doing some talks in a boarding school, and I asked a bunch of the teenagers there what their answer was to this question, and they said some really sweet things. One of them said it was a moment when I was a child and I was feeling really sick, and my mum cancelled going into work, even though she was really busy, to stay at home and make me soup and look after me. Very nice. Another person said it was my dad used to love football, and he was quite good at it, but when I needed to play and be driven around to all these training sessions, he stopped playing football so that I could go, so that he could take me. Another one said, it's that moment each morning when my cat wakes me up by licking my face. It was a little bit weird. But as I ask people that question, one thing that keeps coming up is it's what other people do for you. Now, you see how much someone loves you by looking at what they would go through for you. Tonight in this passage on Good Friday, what we do on Good Friday is we just look at that with God. We look at what Jesus Christ, God the Son, would go through for you and for me. And as we gaze on the depth of his grief, we see there the height of his love. Now look, for a Christian, this is a deeply personal thing we're doing tonight as we gaze on Christ's death. Because we believe, as the Bible says, can we have the next slide up? We believe that he was pierced for our transgressions, that he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by these wounds, by his wounds, we are healed. As we look at the cross this evening, if you're a Christian here, you can say, he did this for me. So what we're going to do tonight, we're going to gaze, we're going to look at the depth of Christ's grief and see there the height of his love. Three things about his grief we're going to notice: that he was humiliated, that he was hated, and that he was forsaken. So, first of all, that he was humiliated. Look down at verse 32 with me, if you will. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. But after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept a watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him: this is Jesus, King of the Jews. Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Now look, crucifixion, you may know this, crucifixion was designed by the Roman Empire to utterly humiliate its enemies. If slaves had an uprising or something like that, this was Rome's way of showing, this is what we can do to our enemies, anybody that messes with the Roman Empire. And it was designed to be as degrading as it possibly could. Notice, look at verse 35, they cast lots for his clothes. He was naked, stretched, naked, and lifted up for everyone to look at. Just think about that humiliation. What would that feel like? Imagine for a moment having to walk down Crowbar High Street naked. How desperate you would be just to cover yourself up. But he couldn't cover himself up because his hands were nailed to wood. Utterly degrading, utterly humiliating. One person summarized it this way: crucifixion was unspeakably painful and degrading. Nailed to the cross, the victim endured countless paroxysms as he pulled with his arms and pushed with his legs to keep his chest cavity open for breathing, then collapsed under the exhaustion until shortage of oxygen forced renewed paroxysms. It could go on for days, ending at last with death by suffocation, cardiac arrest, or loss of blood. Now notice verse 37, above him as this happened, there's this sign displayed saying, "This is the King of the Jews. This is what we can do to your king." Utterly broken, naked, looking totally weak and humiliated. The most humiliating way to destroy life that had been devised by humans. Imagine what that would feel like for the King of Glory to hang naked on that cross. Humiliated. And Christ endured that. He was pierced. Why? For your sin and for mine. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. He was hated. So he was humiliated. Next point. He was hated. As if hanging in that humiliation wasn't enough. Listen to the hatred that gets poured on Christ. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Save yourself. Come down from the cross if you're the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we'll believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I'm the Son of God.'" In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. It wasn't enough for people to look upon Christ's humiliation. They had to pour hatred and bile on top of it as well. You notice how each of his most wonderful claims is taken and trampled in the mud and thrown back in his face. So verse 40, his claim that he's the Son of God. Verse 41, his claim that he's the Savior. He's here to save others. End of verse 41, that he's the King of Israel. These most wonderful things about who Jesus is, taken, trampled in the mud, and flung back in his face. And I don't know if you noticed that in verse 44, it's even the criminals that are being crucified next to him, even they look down in hatred on Christ. Isn't that remarkable? Like if we were to put, we shouldn't do this, but if we were to put people into a hierarchy, these slave criminals being executed, they would be the lowest point. But even they, dying, look down in hatred on Christ. One of them later repents. But at this point, even they look down in hatred upon Christ. Look, I remember a moment when I was at primary school when I saw one child being ruthlessly mocked by a gang of other children. You know how children can sometimes be so cruel that they get sort of excited with it? And I remember I was walking up behind and I saw this one boy, everyone like insulting him and being horrible to him. I saw him turn around and just the desperation and the tears flowing down his face as everybody poured hatred on him. But that's nothing compared to what Christ went through here. It was my sin that held him there, and yours, until it was accomplished. Yet without faltering, without a word, Christ faced this. Refused to come down, even as he was being mocked and hated for not coming down. For you for me. He was hated. Finally, he was forsaken. Verse 45, from noon until 3 PM, darkness came over all the land. About 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Notice his cry there. Notice Jesus doesn't cry, well, why did Peter forsake me? Or why did Judas betray me? Or why did the crowd hate me? He cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? God the Son had always lived in the light and the warmth of God the Father's love and presence. In fact, there's a moment in John's Gospel where Jesus prays, Father, thank you that you always hear me. He'd always drunk from the sacred stream of peaceful communion and loving fellowship with his Father. That had always flowed into his life. But here in this moment, that stream has dried up. And try to imagine if every moment of every day you just enjoyed God's pure presence and the warmth of that, how cold it would feel as he reaches for that warmth and the Father's face is turned away from him. God, who is too holy to welcome sin, as Christ bore sin and the punishment for sin, God the Father's face was turned away. You and I can only guess at what this must feel like. I don't know what the worst moment of your life has been. But God has never left us altogether in this life. So however far down that moment might have been for you, this was worse. One man put it this way, look again at this cry from the cross, this cry from the lowest pit of misery. I do not think the records of time or eternity contain a sentence more full of anguish. Here you may look into a vast abyss, and as you strain your eyes and gaze until sight fails you, yet you perceive no bottom. It is measureless. It is unfathomable. The anguish of the Saviour on your behalf. Do you see in this cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? The burden on Christ's soul of bearing your sin and my sin. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. Every one of our bitter thoughts, every one of our evil deeds crowning his blood-stained brow. And why did he do it? Well, by his wounds, we are healed. Just briefly, notice the results of what happens the moment Christ dies. Verse 50, when Christ cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rock split, and the tombs broke open. The consequences of our sin, the two biggest problems that every single person faces, are what are they? Death and separation from God. Look, we might not feel that, but the Bible would say that is your biggest problem and my biggest problem. Death and separation from God. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned and turned away from God, they were pushed out of his presence, pushed out of the garden. Now that was symbolized in the temple by this massive curtain that separated the holy place where God dwelt from the rest of us, the people. We were cut off, separated from God. That's the biggest problem we face. And secondly, death. Now, Christ saw that that is what you and I are facing. And on the cross, he steps in to face it for us. And at the moment he dies, what happens? Well, both those two problems are dealt with. The curtain in the temple, torn in two. The tombs, broken open. Our two problems, death and separation from God, are dealt with. The way is open. And you and I can now run into the arms of God. Nothing left to pay. Washed completely clean of all of our guilt. The price is paid. The punishment is finished. we can run into the arms of God. Let me put it as clearly as I can. Christ endured separation from God so that you never have to taste it. Christ endured this because he wants you and me with him forever. Do you see the love of God for you in that? Look again at the depth of his grief. And do you see there the height of his love for you? Now look, this is not the end of the story. This is Good Friday, but Easter Sunday is coming. Easter Sunday when we celebrate Jesus rising to new life and bringing us into a new life with God, with meaning, with purpose, with a whole bunch of stuff to do. But look, today's Good Friday, and Good Friday is not about us doing anything. Good Friday is about us looking again at Christ's love, looking at the depth of his grief, and seeing there the height of his love for you and me. So gaze again with me at his love tonight. Let's pray. Father, we do not deserve you to love us this much. But we thank you and praise you that you do. We thank you and praise you that this is the length that your love would go to bring us to be with you forever. Amazing grace. Father, thank you. Amen.